Dr. O'Neill Dillon served as a psychiatrist at Solano and San Quentin State Prisons from 1994 to 2000. He's also president of the Northern California Psychiatric Society. During his time working in the prison's mental health facilities, he says intense overcrowding created an almost perpetual state of crisis. In this story produced by KALW's Leah Rose, Dr. Dillon recounts his days treating mentally ill prisoners and the challenges of practicing in a volatile and chaotic environment.
I never felt personally threatened in a prison setting. Plus, I always wore a white coat when I was in the prison, and specifically to identify me as medical staff and not custody staff. And the inmates aren't stupid. They know if you're there to try and be helpful in as a physician. And, you know, if you respected them as human beings and treated them with dignity, you were seen as someone who was doing their job. And as if you're a helping professional, you're there to help them. Because it was hard to see individual patients in administrative segregation, because to have them escorted by two officers to your office, to see them in an office setting, even if it was in that building, took a lot of time. I decided I would go make house visits. So I walked the tiers and see inmates that I had already been seeing, but I'd also be looking for other cases, and I'd also find out a lot of what was happening. Some inmate would call me over and tell me about something else happening, and so when you go on the tiers like that, you start at one end, you open the gate. The inmate in the cell next to the gate, his job is to identify who's coming on the tier, and his job is to communicate it all the way down the tier, to alert everybody. Someone's coming on the tier. So if it was a custody officer, the inmate would yell out, "Hot water! Hot water!" And it would go down the tier from cell to cell. "Hot water! Hot water!" When I came on the tier in my white coat, the inmate would yell, "Lukewarm water!" And that would go down the tier. You could, if an inmate did something positive, you could, as a staff, you could write up what was called a laudatory note that you would put in their record. And I would do that with inmates who pointed out an issue, a security issue. We had inmates who were trained in Vietnam for escape issues, and now they were in prison. And by God, these were professionally trained escape artists from the military. One guy pointed out to us in the infirmary all the security risks that he was noticing in the cell that he was in. And I thought that was a very helpful thing for him to do. So you write up a laudatory note and put it in his file. Had other inmates do things like... I lost a pen once in administrative segregation. An inmate found it. No, he traded cigarettes for it. And when I was walking the tiers one day, he called me over. He wasn't a patient. And he gave me my pen back that I had lost. And he informed me that this was one of those Parker pens with a big refill, huge refill in the Parker pen. They could be used as darts in a prison setting. Inmates can make blowguns out of newspapers. They can use that pen refill as a dart. And so he gave it to me back, and he said, "You shouldn't bring pens like this into a prison setting." I said, "Thank you. That's important information. I'm going to write up a laudatory note and put it in your file." So I was talking to the captain about that and said, "Geez, this guy, you know, did this." And the captain, he said, "Do you want to know why that inmate was here?" And I'm thinking, well, I usually don't want to know why the inmates are here. Well, he said, I said, "Yeah, all right, tell me." He said, "That inmate killed a doctor." Now, why is he getting my pen from another inmate, trading cigarettes for it, and giving it back to me? Is that hope? I don't know. It was an eye-opening experience. Saw many kinds of cases that I had never seen before. I also found that it was a very interesting setting in which to treat these character disordered and or seriously mentally ill patients, primarily because you could split the therapeutic function of the staff and the doctors from the control function of the custody staff. And you could use that difference in a therapeutic way. The need was overwhelming, and that the overcrowding, although the Department of Corrections was doing their best to try and get staff in there, and there was the psychiatric programs were being attempted to be staffed. The federal courts got it right. The overcrowding is what's been leading to the prison's problems. And so there was no way in the world you could feel that you had a situation that you've stabilized a situation in an institution. There were cases that you couldn't get to. And that wears on you. It's seeing the pain of people that can't be addressed. Too many, not enough staff, can't address it.